Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Talking with John Rhodes on Coast to Coast AM, then we'll do open lines coming up tomorrow night. I'll tell you more about it later because I want to get right back to this. So we would agree that there are evolutionary needs, right? Which then it changes the pigment of our human skin. Those people living closer to the equator. We see blind fish in the deepest ocean develop lights on top of their head to attract prey, which then they're able to sense and then eat. It would make no sense for a crocodile or an alligator to develop a light on the top of its head if it didn't produce more food or attract a mate or whatever. So part of me struggles with this concept of how was it then that these reptoids developed and or continued to flourish under the ground to the point where, as you suggest, they have evolved. So let's put that aside for now. That having been said, explain how what you think the qualitative research that you've done, all of the interviews, the collection of stories, what does it indicate to you about what's going on underneath our feet?
Well, it's twofold, I believe, or almost threefold. First of all, we have our own military-industrial complex dug in around the planet, and we're talking about thousands of underground bases, not just a few, I'm talking thousands. And it's not only here in the United States and some of the other developed countries and perhaps even undeveloped countries, they have them. So we use that because our military has learned a long time ago the best place to hang out is underground. In World War One and a lot in World War Two, a lot of the war was fought in underground tunnels and underground bases that the Nazis had. That's one of the things about World War Two we don't see very often in the movies. I've got, reports of some of these underground bases are quite large.
Right. And I agree.
For example, I'm going to just give you a quick one here. A lot of people don't realize. In a newspaper report of 1946 in the St. Louis Star and Times, they said that a gentleman by the name of Zuntaro Tanaka, he was 26, a Japanese corporal, he was caught in Korea by the Soviets in 1945. He said, I'll read it here. I was blindfolded and put in on train. We rode all night. The next day we were unloaded in Iman, and that's the name of the town. The name of the town has actually changed since then. We were hauled into trucks and pointed outside the city, given shovels and put to work. 50,000 prisoners were scooping the earth from a gigantic plane there to make an underground airport. There were 80 radiating runways, each 1,000 meters or 3,280 feet in length. And they said about one-third of the prisoners died building it. And this was on the Soviet-China border.
Right.
So that gives you an idea in 1945 of the kind of places they were building. Now, we're talking about a hub-shaped circular airport or military installation that has runways faced in all directions, 80 of them, so they can just fire out aircraft, like unbelievable, like the Thunderbirds in the old TV show.
Thunderbirds are go.
Yeah, Thunderbirds go. So when you hear of that, and then you put it together with the fact that ever since then, I've read newspaper reports talking about large dirigibles in World War II being right. stored underground in large underground hangars. I haven't heard of any of those ever been being discovered or talked about. So we have all kinds of strange things going on underground by our own military. On top of that, we have perhaps extraterrestrials who are visiting the planet, and I just can't seem to... I can't seem to reason why they would come such great distances only to hang out for a day or two and then head back home. At least we knew when we were watching Star Trek, those guys would set up some sort of monitoring base where they couldn't be seen so they could watch the inhabitants of the planet and study them. And I believe to some great extent that's also happening.
Okay.
How long some of these extraterrestrials have been here, I don't know. They may have had generations of them born on the planet that think that this is also their home planet because this is where they were born. So that could be happening.
Okay, but let's pause that. So the idea of the U.S. military or any military around the world building underground bases makes sense, right? I mean, especially because of aerial bombing.
Correct.
In World War II, you know, you went underground. The Pentagon does not list every installation, and many of them are very intricate, to the degree that they could support, you know, hundreds of thousands of people or a very complex life. I don't know, but they seem very kind of functional. They were functional to the point where it could be a plane, it could be a dirigible, it could be a train that came in and out, it could be a lot of things. And it was, and there were people who were POWs. Obviously, a lot of Jews were forced to dig and build and reinforce these underground bunkers for the Nazis themselves to survive or attempt to win the war, even if it was just for testing organizations. But that still doesn't put me closer to the concept of why, what's your vision then for these reptilians? Are you saying they take over the vacant bases? I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand, the connection
making. I believe that we have our own underground bases, but there are also probably very remote locations in which these craft fly from. Also using the underground to shield themselves from being monitored by satellites or anything else. For us to see
right.
lights in the sky, we are just automatically assuming that if they outperform our aircraft and people say they're anomalous, that they must come from outside our planet or from another dimension. We have, since the 1930s, been redirected. Back in the old days, literature used to be filled with, oh, what's living underground? What kind
right.
of monsters? What kind of lost civilizations? And all of a sudden, the entire subject matter of phenomenon changed, and we were looking off our planet. And I really believe that's kind of a form of a distraction, where they say, look off our planet and think about the subject matter. Meanwhile, what's happening here underground on our own planet?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yeah, as I was reading your website again, we're talking with John Rhodes. You can link up to him at coasttocoastam.com and go take a look at the stories he's collected and the research that he has done on the subject of reptoids, especially those that live in these complicated or sophisticated communities underground. I agree that it's the stuff. I mean, as I was reading, I thought this is the stuff of Jules Verne.
Yeah.
Right. This is the stuff of H.G. Wells, to name two original authors on subjects like this. So
Arthur C. Clarke. Let me just jump in real quick. Arthur C. Clarke, when he wrote his book Childhood's End, he refers to the alien that came down to Earth as looking like the devil, and our classical descriptions of the devil are of a reptile talking. And the older descriptions, like I said, are also of them walking.
Well, I get that, but remember that the other part of that Genesis narrative, of which I am very familiar, is that God created all of the creatures in the Garden of Eden, without exception. Mm-hmm. So, there is no discussion of a serpentine-like creature coming down from heaven, entering into the otherwise perfect garden. I'll grant you, he's the only one. That serpent is the only thing that is mentioned as having the ability to talk or to communicate. But that's kind of part of the story, right?
That's just kind of part of the story. We don't, remember these guys that wrote these religious works a long time ago, they were taking information that they were provided and writing it down in some sort of a digestible manner. And when,
right.
when they composed the Bible, they were basically including all of these myths from all around the world and trying to find out the common denominators between all of them so they could invite members of other religions over to the Christian religion. Because, you have, in Babylon, what? You have a guy that was swallowed by a fish? But we have that story as well.
Well, that predates Christianity, though. So
That predates.
So but to make that point, it wasn't all over the world. It was all over the region that God took different names and different forms. And so this, in order to include every group, they're all kind of mashed in there together under the understanding that they're different names for the same thing. And so, yeah, the Babylonian exile is a good example. You know, there are other myths about Babylonian. There's other myths about a giant fish, a Noah narrative. I mean, there's all sort of a flood, obviously.
Right.
I mean, all sorts of it. But, okay, so where, again, tell me the vision of what you think is going on underneath our feet right now.
Well, I think that we have small groups of advanced cultures, human and non-human, living underground. And they feel very well preserved down there. If anything happens, like some sort of cosmic disaster, where everybody on Earth is destroyed
right.
from a comet or something like that hitting the planet, they're going to survive because they're underground. I think that most of them have retreated under there, if not for safety from the environment, from safety from us, because we are one vicious animal species group on the planet.
Yeah, we're the most dangerous anyway. What about...
I read on Facebook someday, you know...
I'm with you there. Yeah, if we go by social media, we are the most vicious.
Hey, listen, when the aliens drive past Earth, they lock the doors, you know?
That's funny. All right, so... But if we're talking about the Truadon and then the Truadon's descendants, if it continued to grow underground when the above ground dinosaurs had been wiped out, what would be the reason? Are you, how is it that that civilization goes on to be so sophisticated as you imagine?
I believe it's more, I wouldn't call it sophisticated because we have sophistication as well, but I think that because of the different brain types, their brains are working completely different than ours.
Right.
And so how we perceive science and what we can learn from it may be two different things. We have common things we could learn, but also things that are pretty distinct to how our brain is functioning and what it allows us to even think.
Okay.
And so when you're talking about sophisticated learning, I've talked to some really, really intelligent people at times, you know, who are really sophisticated. And there's others at times that I've talked to that aren't. And it's not so much that they're all sophisticated. I believe that we have some maybe near surface pocket groups of creatures that also answer to the same physical description, like that was discovered in 1988 down in, Bishopville, South Carolina,
which is a great tab on your website. Do you want to tell the story of Bishopville?
Well, in 1988, a young boy was changing a tire out in the middle of a swamp road, and it was late at night, early morning. And as he was changing the tire, he saw something running through the swamp area towards his direction, and he said it was upright and it had glowing red eyes, and it was running fast towards him, and he got scared. He jumped
yeah.
in his car, put through the rest of the tools in the front seat, jumped in the car and started driving down the road, and something jumped on his roof, and he could actually see a hand reaching down, trying to reach through the window and grab the side mirror. And when he got back home, he was so scared he couldn't talk, and his family, he started going into a fit, and his family was wondering what's wrong. They called the Sheriff Truesdale out, and Sheriff Truesdale's always kind of presented as like this local, you know, southern sheriff, but this gentleman was a good friend of mine. He was trained at the FBI courses over with the FBI. So he's had a lot of training behind him. And so he started investigating what was going on around there. And there were multiple eyewitnesses that described something that was like a lizard man. He was about seven and a half feet tall, had large arms. He had very muscular build. And this was reported by several people. And in the end of the entire years and years of going through these different cases where people said their cars were kind of mauled and they think it may have been by the lizard man, some of these may have been hoaxes, but some of them certainly weren't, because when the young boy was brought into the station, he passed lie detector tests twice, okay, about what he had seen.
Right.
And, you know, Mr. Truesdale died just recently, and he said to me, no matter what's going on, he says, it's not normal. And he says, in those swamps in there, nobody can get in, they're so thick. He said, so you could have anything living in those swamps, deep in the swamps, and we wouldn't know it. And this is the same kind of thing where people have gone down to Bishopville and they said, no, this has got to be Bigfoot, because people are fully invested in their research. So they'll try and go into other areas where it's the drawings and everything that's described is talking about a reptilian humanoid, but they come down and say, no, it must have been Bigfoot, because that's what they know.
Right. Yeah, yeah, there's confirmation bias. What's the image then that you have in your head that you think is closest to what this guy had in Bishopville?
Oh, you mean as far as in the social, in media?
What it looks like. What it looks like. I mean,
okay,
so
I can give you a physical description.
Okay.
We're talking about beings that are on average height, the ones that have been seen have been about anywhere from 6.5 to about 7.5 to 8 foot tall.
Okay.
Large muscular arms and legs. They have scales across their body. The scales on their chest are more broad, like plates. Their head is large. It's got a little bit of a crown on the top, kind of like a gorilla. And they have no hair. Their eyes are almond-shaped. Their pupils have cat-like eyes with vertical slit pupils. Their hands have three fingers with an opposing thumb. And their feet seem to have a raised, like a dew claw, or, you know, a thumb, I guess, or an atrophied thumb, way up near where we have our ankle bone.
Hmm.
And they also have no lips and no ears. So they might have a kind of a crustal type ear, maybe a scale or something over where normal ears are, but the mouth has absolutely no lips at all. It's just a very wide mouth. And this is what was described.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox